Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So some interesting news coming out of Alaska, and we're going to be taking a trip to Alaska in about a month. Our good friends at Teamsters Local 959 in Anchorage are going to bring us out to do a speech and meet the guys, and we're going to do a couple of programs from there. Looking forward to what I think is going to be an incredible opportunity to reach out to folks there in Alaska. Looking forward. But the EPA today has restored protections, or is in the process of restoring protections, to Alaska's Bristol Bay. Evidently, a Canadian company wanted to build a giant mine there. They're saying, no, probably a bad idea because of all the fish and all the wildlife that are dependent on that area. I think it's a good thing, fortunately. We'll see if this actually gets stopped. But look, new administration, new president, new outlook, new future, hopeful future. And with this EPA, with folks back in charge, I have some hope again. And they've just evidently come out with ways that climate change are going to hit us, and especially going to hit poor and minority communities. And here to share some thoughts on this most recent piece on climate change by the folks at the EPA, I've asked Bill Hersey to come talk with us. Bill's a past president of Local 2050 of the National Federation of Federal Employees. He's also an executive board person, and our good friend Gary Morton, president of AFGE Council 238. Guys, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Always happy to support you because you've been a supporter of our movement and making sure we hold people accountable.
And it's something I appreciate you guys coming on and talking to me. Bill, let's start with you. I'm looking at this thing in Alaska going, I'm happy to see that there's an EPA out there actually protecting our environment for a change instead of saying, no, go ahead, rape and pillage.
No, yeah, well, that's what we had. That's what we had in the previous 4 years. But hopefully, things are turned around for good this time. This report that you referred to, by the way, is a report of the Office of Air and Radiation. And if people want to go search for that at the Office of Air and Radiation website, it's called the Social Vulnerability report. They could get access to all the data in that report by going to that site.
Yeah, it's I've looked at it. It's long. It's a lot, which is why that we've brought you guys, the experts, on to come and explain to us exactly what's in this. Because look, the reality is most of us don't have the ability to go read hundreds of pages of very dense scientific kind of language, which is why I defer to people who this was your career. So what are we looking at here? We know climate change is real. We're seeing the effects of these massive storms. Things are getting worse. What are they laying out for us?
Shall I take this, Gary?
Yes, you, sir. Yes, sir.
In reading this report, the people who did it set two different possible increases in average temperature of 2 degrees Celsius or 4 degrees Celsius. I'm going to revert now to using degrees Fahrenheit because that's what most folks, other than us science wonks, deal with is Fahrenheit degrees, which is about 4 degrees increase, 4 degrees on average Fahrenheit and 8 degrees Fahrenheit at the higher level. And before getting into the individual effects on people, to set the stage, the geographic effects speak very loudly from this report. At the lower so-called increase in temperature, large areas of the Southwest, the Great Plains from Canada down to Mexico, the Midwest and the Northeast, they're likely to see average temperatures actually 6 to 8 degrees higher, 6 to 8 degrees Fahrenheit higher as an average temperature. So that's the lowest temperature aspect of this report, and the people who lived in there are going to be suffering this. The effect on individuals, and the report points out, They looked at four different classifications of folks and to see what their relative risks are of having adverse effects.
Right.
Minorities, which includes Black and African American, Asian Americans, Alaskan and Aleutian Islands people, and Asian and Pacific Islands people, and the and also low income folks and people who have less than a high school diploma. To zero in on this, the Black African American community is 40% higher risk of living in an area from which death is a plausible outcome. They're in the highest risk of extreme temperature and extreme adverse health effects. They're also at about a 34% increase to suffer childhood asthma in their kids.
And the but Bill, that's not new. There's nothing new about that.
Yeah.
This has been, it's going on for decades. So let me go to you, Gary, because, part of what I hope the EPA is doing is taking the information that Bill has laid out. And I think we understand this viscerally. The richer are positioning themselves that they're going to be okay. The poor are basically screwed and are going to be sacrificed so that the rich can have more. What's the EPA going to do to help move us in a direction that protects some of those most vulnerable folks and those of us in the middle, not making us vulnerable?
Well, I hope, because the mission of the EPA is protect human health and the environment for all Americans. But let's be real that race, wealth, politics, all type economic factors, education, poor whites, poor blacks, everyone is treated the same based on the economic disparities. And environmental justice program, which is not new. However, we hope during this administration it's more than talk,
right?
Because the definition is environmental justice, fair treatment of all people, regardless of color, race, national origin, dealing with the development, implementation, enforcement of laws, regulations. The objective is to have the same degree of environmental protection and health and protection from the health hazards for every American. It's not happening. Politics get in the middle now of the ability of the EPA to do their job. And I want to turn it over back into scientific integrity. Until Congress enables the employees and the agency to actually do their job, it's just talk.
Right. And that's why I come back to this report, Bill, because this report is kind of a basis of going, look, Houston, we have a problem. I forget who recently called, we're in the moment of code red for humanity. The United Nations called it, we're in a moment of code red for humanity. This report seems to bear that out, no?
Well, yeah, this report and also the sixth assessment report of the International Panel on Climate Change has just come out, and there are things like we're in a situation where the carbon dioxide levels are now higher than they've been in the last 2 million years. The ocean is heating up at the fastest rate in over 10,000 years, and in order to get this under control, we need our union brothers and sisters across the country, and especially the union brothers and sisters in West Virginia. I know they've got concerns about mining jobs, but there are, hopefully we can get some pressure on the senator from West
Joe
Virginia
Manchin.
And Joe Manchin to buy into this big bill the big infrastructure bill. It's currently at $3.5 trillion, but whatever comes out of that bill has got to have control of climate change as part of it. It absolutely has to have that in there, because without that, humanity is on a fast trail for bad news. And among these minorities, by the way, in the report, the most universal adverse effect you see is loss of labor hours because of increased temperatures. That's across the board in Blacks, Hispanics and others, the low-income folks. The largest impact on those people is loss of labor hours. I mean, obviously, death and childhood asthma is a problem, but they all suffer loss of labor hours because of increased temperature. So this is something for all working people to get hold of, because that's a big deal.
No, it is a big deal. And this is where you go back to what Rex Tillerson said years ago, that, you know, climate change is real, but we're going to adapt. We're going to have new technologies, going to do all this stuff. I never believed that argument, that we were going to be able to adapt and come up with new gadgets and whatnots. And, you know, maybe if they sell us air and charge us more for electricity, for air conditioning, maybe that's the future. And maybe that's the capitalist dream of where we're going. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, all of us are going to be affected adversely in this, and all of us are screwed. So, you know, I looked at this report and I'm going, yeah, it's going to affect minority communities the hardest first. They're the canaries in the coal mine. But eventually it's going to come eat all of us, Gary. And, yes. And this is one of those moments where you go, when the sinking ship, we can't be dividing ourselves up because we're all going down.
Yes. And climate change is a health issue. And that's why it affects everybody. No matter where you live, it's going to come. I use the analogy, at one time, the opium epidemic wasn't declared an epidemic until it hit certain areas, and then it's an epidemic. People have to call their congressmen, education in terms of just knowledge. Historically, the poor blacks, poor whites, undereducated have been forced into a zoned area of development, industrial corridors, freeways, dense population, until they look to repair those areas. And the problem is the economics. There's no economics involved in repairing those areas in terms of helping the people. So again, I've often said, you can't do environmental protection based on economics. And it's a terrible balance, because you have health. And the agency that's invested and supposed to protect human health and the environment is going through, hopefully, a turn back. But I'm looking at the swiftness of the regulations from the last administration and the lack of swiftness from this administration to reverse some critical areas.
No, this was something I wanted to get into, because the administration has talked about some climate issues. They've talked about in this infrastructure plan addressing some of it. I don't think enough. I don't think quickly enough. In fact, you know, President Biden, the administration has said by 2050, we're going to increase our solar capacity to some bit. I'm going, well, we should be doing that now.
Yes.
Is this administration moving fast enough in your estimation? And if not, where could they do better? And what suggestions would you have? Let's start with you, Bill. What could this administration do better?
Let me point out something. Going way back to the Clinton era, when we had a National Partnership Council, and all the labor unions at EPA, at the AFTRA units, the NTEU units, NAIL and Engineers and Scientists of Cal, all got together and put heat on administration to do things, including we wrote a letter to the administrator kicking him in the butt about taking action on climate change. We did that back in about 2002. So the unions can stand up again and come together and continue to put pressure on the administration when they work together like that from the inside, and you galvanized unions on the outside to put this kind of pressure in place. I think the pressure on the inside and the pressure on the outside can maybe have some effect. We found that to be the case in a number of issues. There's a EPA union history website that chronicles all of this stuff, and it's the workers inside EPA have more power than they think. I'm afraid they've kind of fallen away from that realization. But if they stand up on their hind legs like we used to do back in the early 2000s, we can make things happen.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do. Gary, let me ask you, because, you know, at the end of this, I don't think anything gets done until we can figure out how to make it somewhat profitable for someone, or, you know, we can build an economy around it. Do you see a future in green energy in this country, given the fact that the oil interests and the gas interests have such a stranglehold on our political process?
Yeah, I look at it as maybe a rival league. Yes, there is room for green energy. But as long as we have the political influences, the economical influence, the lobbyists, senators and congressmen who will vote in terms of politics or economics versus health, protecting human health and the environment, the agency needs to be forced to do its job. Can't get caught up in political issues. Scientific integrity is a big problem. Fear of reprisals for speaking out. We just came from administration. They need to make the employees comfortable where, and also educate the public to demand environmental protection. Environmental protection is not waiting for something to happen. It's a deterrent so it doesn't happen.
Right. No, absolutely. You've got to be much more proactive. And look, one of the things the last administration did really well, and I'm not giving them credit, I'm just saying they did really well, is they neutered your ability to be proactive.
Yes.
And it's this administration's responsibility to pick that mantle up, to move forward, and to undo much of the damage of the last administration. But guys, I appreciate you taking a little time for me. This is really an important topic, and I'm sure something that I'll be reaching out to you again as this continues, because clearly from this report, this isn't going away.
No. I just want to say thank you, Rick, and we're available anytime, because at AFGE Council 238, we want to protect human health and the environment.
Good stuff, guys.
I'd urge people to go to epaunionhistory.org and see how we did it in the past. And as my dad, the longshoreman, used to say, the bosses don't give you anything. You have to stand up and fight for it.
There you go, Bill. Thanks so much. Gary, appreciate the time. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.